الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. فاستقم كما أمرت ومن تاب معك. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون، وسلام على المرسلين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. 2 qualities in the human being are wonderful. Number 1, that there is a check and balance system built in the human being which tells him who he is, what he is doing, at what state he is standing. Anyone in this world who is leading a bad life is automatically getting a message feedback from the built-in system that you are doing wrong. You are not right. You are not doing the things which you are supposed to do. This is called in Urdu Zameer, and in English it is check and balance system of a person. In Quran it has been mentioned, بَلِ الْإِنسَانُ عَلَىٰ نَفْسِهِ بَصِيرًا وَلَوْ أَلْقَى مَعَاذِيرًا, that everyone knows his exact situation even if he tries to manipulate in the eyes of the people. We can wash our face and come very fresh and clean in front of the people, but our actual situation is the situation of the heart, and that Allah knows it very well. We can be a split personality in the sight of people. We are very good persons, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what is the actual condition. So this check and balance system automatically triggers the person, automatically provokes the person to do whatever is required to do. It tells him that what you are doing is not fine. You are going away from the path, so try to be on the right path. So this system is calibrated by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to always stay on the right path. And whenever someone deviates, so this check and balance system starts giving signal to him. Come on the right path, come on the right path, come on the right path. And that's why sometimes we make tawbah. We repent upon doing the sins. Or every repentance is an indicative of the fact that there is something in our inside which is giving us feedback. Then second important thing is the determination power of a person, will power of a person. It's wonderful. It has no parallel. Because when we want to stay on the right path, we have negative forces. They pull us away. But this determination power keeps us on the right path. So this is a wonderful quality in a person. This determination power can be in anyone. It is in the kuffar as well as it can be in the mu'mineen. For example, there was an Italian translator He translated some books of medicine from Yunnan, Cyprus into Italian language. Because the herbal medicine in Yunnan, it was really state of the art medicine technology. They used, they knew what are the qualities of herbs, and they used to use it for the remedies of the diseases of the person. And this was the only medicine technology in the world, very popular. Now, he translated one or two books of medicine from Arabic language to Italian language. When they were published, they became on the hit list. Number one top seller of the time. He became very popular. In the meantime, he went to some hospital for some purpose, and then it was diagnosed that he is a cancer patient. And the cancer has spreaded up to the extent that the doctors told him that maximum you can be alive for 2 years. Within 2 years, the cancer will spread so much that it will be fatal for you. And there was no medicine at that time, no treatment at that time. So when he came to know that maximum I am going to stay in this world for 2 years, he was not depressed. He did not lose hope. He thought that my time span is short and what I want to do is still very big. So I have to utilize my time properly. So he came to different libraries of the country and he searched for some other books which can be good if they were translated. So he found almost 20 different books which, if they could be translated, so they would have been able to transform knowledge from one language to the other language, to Italian language. What he did, he appointed 2-3 people with him and he told them, okay, I am going to translate the terminology, and whatever is a normal, you do it yourself, and I will just have a look on that, whether everything is fine or not. So he made such a beautiful arrangement that in 2 years he translated 20 books from one language to the other language. And his name was included in the Guinness Book of Records as the number one translator of the history of the human being. In minimum period of time, he translated 20 books. It's impossible for one person. So even he was a cancer patient, but still he did something which included him in the list of those people who make certain distinct job. What was that? That was determination power, will power. Will power is a power with which you can make some impossible things possible, with which you can make your failure a success, with which you can make your minus into plus. That is willpower. With which you can stay on the right path and you counteract with the negative forces. So this willpower is a blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves those people who have steadfastness. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَا اللَّهُ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا. Allahu Akbar. Who have istiqamat. Istiqamat means steadfastness. And that you can have only with the determination power. And if you don't have determination power, and you are always confused what to do, so you have no foundation, no footing, You are always in the air. But this determination power makes a man just like even mountain, or even more than the mountain. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves those people. Inna Allah la yuhibbu ma'ali al-himam. Hadith of Rasulullah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves those people who have their high ambitions and thoughts, high goals. The people who have high goals, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves those people. Muhabbat mujhe un jawanon se hai, sitaron pe jo dalte hain kaman. So that is determination power of the person. Then Newton, he came up with the laws of motion. He worked hard for many years. It was all mathematical, because to prove some equations mathematically need mathematical work. So he worked, and after a hard work of many years, he concluded that these are the laws of motion. Then he found that I have to go to the washroom. He went to the washroom, and behind him he had a small doggy. So that doggy came in the room. And when it was just walking around the room, there were so many papers lying down on the ground. Because the scientists, normally they are just thinking unidirectional. And they don't take care of the cleanliness and tip-top and everything. They are in certain state of mind. You will always see their cars in a very bad condition. They get service from the car, but they don't do service for the car. So normally, that you can experience. So it was the same condition there. That on the ground, there were heaps of papers lying here and there. Now that doggy, when he wanted to go, he slipped at one place and he fall on the candle. And the candle fell down on the paper. And whatever thesis he wrote, everything was burnt and became just ash. So when Newton came back, oh, he looked at the ashes. Oh, what happened? But he did not get embarrassed. And he only said, Tony, name of the doggy, that Tony, you increased my work. You increased my work. And from his memories, he again started reproducing the same equation. And with an effort of again 1 year, he produced the same equation and he became the inventor of the laws of motion. If we were there, then what was our reaction? So the people who became famous people in the history of mankind, they had qualities. They had qualities. Without qualities, you cannot be on the top of the list. So that was steadfastness. Willpower. I can do it. And he did it. In my college, he was on top of the list. So our principal decided to give me the role of honor, because it was a distinct position which I got. So he invited a person who was Nobel Prize winner of Pakistan, Abdul Salam Khurshid. Although he was Qadiani, but still he was Nobel Prize winner. So the principal, he invited him. Why? He said because he had his schooling in our city and he got his college education from the College of Jhani. It's very strange. There have been 2 persons in Pakistan who received the Nobel Prize in the world. One was Abdul Salam Khurshid, and there was another person, he was Muslim, he he had a schooling in Jhang in the college, and then he migrated from Pakistan to India, and in India he became a Nobel Prize winner. But in his life history, it has been mentioned that his schooling was done in the city of Jhang. So our principal decided that let me invite him to give this role of honor to this student. Okay, so a small majlis, mehfil, it was arranged. So there were dignitaries from the city, from different colleges, and students. Now he distributed first the certificates of graduation, and then especially he just gave me the role of honor. Okay. Then after that there was a small tea party. So in the tea party, the lecturers of the college, they asked a question from him, that how you became Nobel Prize winner? You might be very intelligent. He said, no, I'm just like an average person. They said, but average person cannot be a Nobel Prize winner. He said, yes, but I am more hard working than other ones. More hard working than other ones. They said, no, every science student is hard working. Bookworm. Always studying, studying, studying. They put lot of effort. So what do you say that you are hard working? He said, no, I am more hard working than the normal people. They said, no, there might be something else. You might have good IQ. You might have good power of memorization. You might have many other qualities. You tell us those things. He said, no, I am telling you straight away that I am just hard working, nothing else. He said, how you are hard working? Then the gentleman, he gave an example. He said, there was a book of chemistry and I studied it one time and I could not understand anything out of it. But I studied it second time, could not understand. I kept on studying the books until I studied and completed the study of the book 63 times in my life. And I knew each and every word of that book. So people were amazed to listen it, that one person in 1 year as a student, he studied his book 63 times. Whereas we, in 1 year, do not completely study our course one time in the term. And if you do it, then we feel that everyone should be grateful to us. We have studied our course. And if we study twice, we feel our parents should also be grateful to us. So this person, he studied the book 63 times in his life. What was that? That was willpower. So willpower is a power. If you use it, you can be number one in the work of dunya as well as in the work of deen. It is the basic need of everyone, no matter working on the religious platform or working on the profession of dunya. It is basic need of everyone. Without willpower, you cannot do anything. You will always be confused. Always be complaining about the people. But if you have willpower, determination power, you will have the courage to do whatever you want to do. If the kuffar have, okay, the steadfastness is so much loved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he has ordered in Quran, فَاسْتَقِمْ كَمَا أُمِرْتَ وَمَنْ تَابَ مَعَكَ, that O my Prophet ﷺ, you should always be on the straight path, and those people who made tawbah on your hand, they should always stick to the straight path. وَلَا تَتْغَوْ, you cannot deviate, not a single millimeter, a thousand of millimeter from the right path. وَلَا تَتْغَوْ, that's not required. Sri Sikti Rahmatullah, he was a big sheikh. Once he was traveling from one city to the other, in the way he got exhausted. He decided to make Kailula. He slept for a while. When he got up, he found as if some voice is coming from the tree. Under the shadow he was sleeping. He listened to the voice, and the voice was, Ya Sirri Kun Misli. O Sirri, you should be like me. You should become like me. Ya Sirri Kun Misli. O Sirri, you should become like me. He was surprised to listen it. What this tree is telling me? Then he said, Kaifa akuna mislak. How I can be like you? The tree answered, إن الذين يرمونني بالأحجار فأرموهم بالأثمار. That Sirri, I am so good that those people who throw stones towards me, I throw my fruit towards them. So you should be like me. You should be like me. Now Sirri Rahmatullah Alayh, he was amazed to listen it. But because he has noor of wisdom inside. So suddenly a thought came in his mind that if the tree is so good that people throw stone towards the tree and the tree gives them back their fruit, then why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made him the food of the fire? Because the wood is normally the food of the fire. So why he has become the food of the fire? So then he made a question to the tree, that if tree you are so good, فَكَيْفَ مَسِيرَكَ إِلَى النَّارِ, why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have made you the food for the fire? So at this time, the tree took a cool breath and said, O Sirri, I have lot of qualities, but I have only one disquality, and that is so much hated by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that instead of all my qualities, He made me the food of the fire. Then Sirri asked him, what is the disquality you have? He said, I don't have steadfastness. When the wind blows, in which direction the wind blows, I tilt on the same direction. I cannot keep myself in one position. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hates this quality so much that instead of so many other qualities, He made me the food of the fire. Similarly, there are a few young persons. If the wind blows, they tilt with the wind. They go with the wind. They cannot keep themselves on the straight path. The circumstances are bad. So what does it mean? We should become bad? No. We have to stand. So steadfastness is a good quality. And that is required from everyone. And that you can have only if you will have strong determination power. You know, there are light things. For example, wood and paper, if you put it in the river, then just they will flow with the water. But sometimes there are rocks on the river bed. The rocks do not flow with the water. They stay at their place and the water has to change the direction. Similarly, those people who have determination power, they stay on their principles, and everyone else has to change their ways. that a woman should be. His determination power should be very high. If you want to see what determination power our ancestor had, let me quote few examples. At the Battle of Uhud, one Sahabi, he reported that I looked at my both sides that I should know who is going to fight besides me, what type of coverage I have. So on one my side I found a young person, but on the other I found two small kids. And I thought in my mind it would have been better if there was some young man on my this side, because these small kids cannot do anything. When I looked toward them, they came running to me and they said, "Uncle, can you recognize who is Abu Jahl?" I looked at their faces. Their size was so small that their height was less than the length of the sword. Their height was less than the length of the sword. They were so small. Then I asked them, "Why you are asking about Abu Jahl? He is the leader of the enemies." They said, "Yes. We have listened from our elders that he always tries to tease Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and says something nonsense about our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And today we have decided that either he will not go back home or we will not go back home." Now look at the age of these small children and look at their target, which was so high, so difficult. The Sahabi said that, "I showed them, can you see those people who have iron shields on their bodies and iron hats, and no one can approach them, and no one can strike them with the sword?" He said, "Yes, I can see them." He said, "In between them, the person who seems to have a high cap, he is Abu Jahl." They said, "Okay, thank you very much. Now we know." And when the battle started, they said, because these small children, they were not riding on the horse, they were just standing on the ground, so no one took care of them. They found children all children. But these children, they started running from one side through the horses until they reached near the horse of Abu Jahl. Even the enemies, they did not take any notice of that. They did not show any concern about them. Who are they? Why they are here? They said they are small children, not harmful to anyone. But when they reached there, they said that Abu Jahl was riding on the horse and he was so high that we could not reach him. They were so small, they could not reach him. Then one of them, he did that, he hit the leg of the horse of Abu Jahl with the sword. He took it in both hands and did it like this. So when he hit the leg of the horse was wounded and the horse fell down, and eventually Abu Jahl also. When Abu Jahl fell down, then this small kid, he made a second strike to the body of the Abu Jahl. Abu Jahl became wounded. But the child was so small that he could not kill the person. It is reported in the books that he was so high he could not slaughter that person. He could not use the sword with his hand. And then there was a Sahabi who was nearby. He then made a stroke and that was final. And Abu Jahl was killed. Now look at this. If the children of a nation have this much of strong willpower, what willpower the youth of that nation will have? A small girl. Asma radiallahu ta'ala anha, the elder daughter of Sayyidina Siddiqui Akbar Lano. She was just very young, maybe started teenager age. 12, 13, or around that. Sayyidina Siddiqui Akbar Lano told her, "We are migrating from Makkah to Medina, and we will stay in the cave of Thor, and because you are very small, no one can feel that you are coming to us, so bring some food for us to eat. So no one will take notice of you." She said, "Okay." Now this small girl, she took the food and alone she went to the cave of Thor. Even we, the young ones these days, cannot climb the cave of Thor. With all the facilities and cold drinks available, we cannot reach there. It's so high. Look at her, a small girl, alone, she is going to the cave of Thor to give food to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the first day she provided food, came back. When next day she came, then Rasulullah noticed that there was a wound on the forehead and she seemed to be very gloomy, very sad, as if she is discouraged, disheartened. Then Rasulullah asked her, "Asma, what makes you sad?" She said, "O Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when yesterday I went back, I wanted to enter the city of Makkah and Abu Jahl, he looked at me. He grabbed me from my hairs. He said, 'Oh, the daughter of Abu Bakr, you might be knowing where your father is and where your prophet is. Do you know?' And I spoke truth, 'Yes, I know.' He said, 'Then tell me.' I said, 'I won't tell you.' He said, 'Tell me.' I said, 'I won't tell you.' He said, 'I will punish you.' I said, 'Whatever you want to do, you can do.' Then he pulled me from the hairs and I found it very painful. I started crying, but he was very hard upon me. And suddenly he gave a lap on my cheek. O Rasulullah Sallam, I fell down on the rock and I hit my forehead on the rock. So blood started coming out from the forehead and tears came from my eyes. I again stood up in front of him. He again said, 'Asma, I will kill you.' But I told him, 'Abu Jahl, you can take my soul from my body, but I am not going to tell you where my prophet is.'" Allahu Akbar. If a girl of this age has this much willpower, what the willpower of the youth of that time will have. A handicapped person, Amr bin Jammu radiallahu ta'ala, he was handicapped, his legs were not properly working and he could not stay and keep balance. In the battle of Uhud, his four sons were taking part. He came to Rasulullah, "O the Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, give me permission to go in the battle of Uhud." Rasulullah told him that you are handicapped, you cannot keep your balance, how you can fight with the enemies? He said, "Ya Rasulullah, give me permission." Rasulullah told him that your four sons are taking part and you can stay at home and take care of the affairs of the house and your wife and other things. He said, "Oh, Ya Rasulullah, I want to go in the paradise even if I am handicapped. I want to go in the paradise even if I am handicapped." So Rasulullah gave him permission. So he came back home. He was very happy. He told his wife, "Get me prepared for the war. I am going out." Now the wife is always wife. she has a special relationship with the husband. So while she was preparing, she just made a comment, "I am afraid that you will come back running home. I am afraid that you will come back running home. I can see you coming back." So when she said this, oh, Amr bin Jamur Lano, he said, "Allahumma la turaddani ila ahli." He made a dua. "Oh Allah, I am going in your path. Never return me back to my home." A handicapped person. And he went away. And then in the battle he took part. فَقَاتَلَ قَاتَلَ حَتَّى قُتِلَ. He fought with the enemies, killed many of them until he was killed. Now at the end of the battle, the relatives of different people who were martyred, they wanted to take their dead bodies back to home. So when the wife of Amr bin Jamur Lana, she came to know that he was martyred, she came there and she recognized the dead body and wanted to take him back. When she put him on the back of the camel and she wanted to take the camel back Medina, the camel resisted, was not prepared to go. In whatever other direction the camel was driven, he wanted to go in any direction. But he never wanted to walk towards Medina. When this was the situation, then she consulted Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Rasulullah sallallahu asked her, "Did Amr bin Jamu say anything before coming out from the house?" She said that he made this dua. He said his dua has been accepted. Even his dead body will return back home. So here is the Sahabi who has been buried with Sayyid al-Shuhada Amir Hamza radiallahu ta'ala anhu at one place. If the handicapped people of a nation have this much determination power, what determination the youth of that time will have? We can quote dozens and dozens of instances. Vast subject. You will find every Sahabi a hero of his time, a star of his time. That's why Rasulullah SAW told them, "A Sahabi kan Najum." And we use the same word these days. They are stars. And this word has been used 1400 years ago. Rasulullah SAW said that every one of my Sahabi is a star. Determination power. Similarly, the women, they had determination power. Allahu Akbar. Once Rasulullah he announced that get prepared for the battle, we have to go out and attack the enemy. In every house of Medina, the women were preparing their male members so that they should go out with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In one house, one mom, she was having a baby boy in her arms and she was crying and she was crying. Her husband became martyred in the previous battle and now there was no one in the house whom she could prepare and she could send in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And she was very depressed at the time that today I cannot say labbaik to the announcement of my Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I cannot prepare anyone. There is no one in my house that I should prepare for him and he should go with Rasulullah. So she was crying, crying, crying. When she cried a lot, then at the end, she took her baby boy in the arms and she came to the Masjid Nabawi. Rasulullah was sitting at one place. She came directly to Rasulullah and she said, "O Prophet of Allah, please accept my baby boy for the battle." accept my baby boy for the battle. So Rasulullah asked her, how he can take part in the battle? She said, Hazrat, if a mujahid has no shield, so give my baby to him and he should take my baby. And when he will go in front of the enemies, and the enemies will throw arrows toward the mu'mineen, then he can protect himself with the help of my baby. So my baby can be used for protection from the arrows. If this is the willpower of a woman, what the willpower of the young man will be at that time? What the willpower of a young man of that time had? Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Let me quote a small example and then conclude. These days a book has been published, Futuhu Sham. It is a history about how the Syria was conquered by the Muslims. Alama Waqidi Rahmatullah Alayhi is the writer. It has been translated from Arabic into Urdu these days. And those people who can understand Urdu, they can read it. And it's worth reading. If you read it, then you can come to know how big personalities our ancestors were. So in that book, there are so many heroes like Sharjil ibn Hasana, like Ikrima radiallahu ta'ala, and like Zarar bin Azwar radiallahu ta'ala. No, Zarar bin Azwar seems to be the real hero of that book. Very brave gentleman. Oh. He used to ride on the back of the horse without any leather thing inside, underneath him. And he used to have no protection shield. Sometimes even no cloth on the upper part of the body. He just wore a small piece of cloth to cover the private parts. Satar. That's it. Nothing else. And he used to take part in the battle. He was so courageous, that the enemies, when they used to look at him, they used to be afraid as if the animals are afraid from the lion. So this was the situation. Zarar bin Azwar radiallahu ta'ala. Now, one day, the enemies were hundreds and thousands, and the Muslims were just few thousand. So small in number, as if it was a black dot on the body of a white horse. They were so small in number. They started fighting. When they started fighting, then they fought maybe for 7-8 hours. So continuous exercise of 7-8 hours means that the person will be exhausted. Now, after fighting so many hours, the sword of Zarar bin Azwar radiallahu ta'ala, it broke. Now he had his neza in his hand as a substitute. He started fighting with the neza. But as he was fighting, then after some time, he pushed that neza in the body of the enemy and he wanted to take out, and whatever was the head, it remained in the body and there was only one stick of steel in the hand. So no weapon in the hand. When the enemies, they came to know that the person is without weapon, so then they narrowed down their circle around him until they caught him. When they caught him and they told their Amir, then Amir told him, okay, almost 500 people should go with him and send him to the king that we have made this success. It was a very landmark job what they did. So he sent him. When there was end of the battle at the evening, Then Khalid ibn Walid Lano, he came back with other Sahaba, and then they found that Zarar bin Azwar could not return. Oh, where is he? No one knows. They said, go and see in the dead bodies. Maybe he had been martyred. They saw the dead bodies, but they could not find him. It means either he was captured by the enemies, or there is something wrong. So then they decided to attack again. All of them were tired, but again they attacked. And when they attacked, they found some of the enemies and they asked them, where our soldier is? One of them told them, yes, he was captured and he has been sent to this and this city, to the king, with the company of 500 soldiers, under the protection of 500 soldiers. They said, okay. Now Khalid ibn Walid, he made mashwara with the Sahaba, what to do? He said, oh, we are not going to sleep. Although we are tired, but one of our brother is in the hands of the kuffar, how we can take rest, how we can sleep? Straight away we have to go. So almost 50 of the Sahaba, they went with Khalid ibn Walid radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and luckily, those 500 soldiers who were taking Zarar bin Azrilano, they covered maybe 10-15 miles, and they thought, now we are out of the reach of the Muslim, so let us sleep, and in the morning we will start our journey. So they were sleeping. So this group of Muslims, they reached there. And these 50 soldiers of Muslims, they killed the 500 people. And then they released Zarar bin Azwar radiallahu ta'ala. They brought her back. They were very happy. Next day again the battle started. Now when the battle started, Zarar bin Azwar radiallahu ta'ala, he was also fighting like a very brave person. Now the enemies, they made a plan that tried to cover him on the four sides, even if he kills so many people. Don't worry. But try to capture him again. So they made the plan. So when the battle started, then there were hundreds and thousands of enemies. So they took Zarar bin Azwar radiallahu ta'ala anhu again in their circle. Zarar bin Azwar, he was fighting and fighting alone, single. Fighting, he was killing the enemies like anything. But still there were many. When he used to kill one, the next fresh one used to come again. So he fought for maybe 6 to 8 hours and he got exhausted. And the enemies were fresh. Because whenever the one person was killed, the next person who was fresh, he used to come, fill the place. No, enemies were fresh and Zarar bin Azrilano, he was very tired. And after a battle of 8 hours, his horse was running and running and running continuously, and he also got exhausted. He was hungry, he was thirsty. Horse, he could not then run. So he slowed down. Zarar bin Azwar wanted that he should run fast, but the horse could not do that. When the enemies, they found that the horse had been exhausted, so they started narrow down their circle again. They started narrow down their circle again. And Zarar bin Azwar Lano, he noticed that they are coming near me. It means they have come to know that my horse has exhausted. Now when he found this, he bent upon the back of the horse and he put his arm on the forehead of the horse and he told the horse, oh my horse, please help me for a while, otherwise I will go back and make complaint on the Rawza of Rasulullah. These were the words he said to the horse. Oh horse, help me for a while, otherwise I will go back and I complain about you on the Rawza, on the grave of Rasulullah. And when the horse listened these words, oh, it was a shock. He had a jump. And he created a sound and he started running as if a fresh horse. And this person, He then made his way through the enemies, and alhamdulillah, he escaped. They had this much of steadfastness and willpower. Allahu Akbar Kabira. The highest willpower, determination power in the history of mankind was in Sayyidina Siddiq Akbar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and even more was in Hazrat Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Sayyidina Siddiq Akbar was second, and Sayyidina Rasulullah was number one. How much steadfastness Siddiq Akbar Lano had? Allahu Akbar. That after Rasulullah he passed away, there were maneen in zakat, and they never wanted to give zakat to the treasury, to the government. They wanted that we should spread it ourselves. We should give to the people ourselves. We are not going to give it to the center. So Sayyidina Siddiq Akbar Lano, he said, no. Whatever you were doing at the time of Rasulullah, you have to do right now. And then he said, okay, I'm going to fight with them. That was the time when there was Musaylima Kazzab on one side, and the Christians of Najran at one side, and people, they were planning to attack Medina. And in Medina, Abu Bakr Siddiq, he decided, let me fight with those people. So Sahaba said, oh, we should first give preference to those enemies who are from outside. And these people, they recite Kalima, they believe in Allah, they believe in Prophet, they believe in everything. There is only one difference of opinion, that they don't want to give their zakat to the center, to the treasury. They want to spread it by their own hand. So give them relaxation for a while. And then, when we will be done with the big issues, then we will come to them. So most of the Sahaba, they had this opinion. But Abu Bakr Siddiq Lano, he said, no, I am going to fight with them. Umar radiallahu ta'ala, he represented the Sahaba and came to Abu Bakr Siddiq and said, Amirul Mumineen, can we be soft with them and we should be attentive towards the big issues? Oh, then he said this. Abu Bakr Siddiq Lano, he pushed him like this until he fell down on his back. And he said, Ajabbarun fil jahiliyyah, Akhawarun fil Islam. Oh, you were so brave when you were kafir, and you are so coward and you have accepted Islam. Ayutraku ana hai. People should minimize something from the deen, and I am alive. How it is possible? Umar, even if I know that the animals from the forest will come to Medina and they will drag the dead bodies of the women of Medina, I am prepared to see that, but I will send my troops there to fight with those people. Oh, when he said this, Umar Lano, he said that there was some light in myself. I said, no. Whatever he is saying, he is just. We said, no, you cannot go one, you cannot go on alone, we are with you. And when they wanted to go out, and the news spread there, those people who said, we don't want to give zakat, they said, no, we are trying to give zakat. And all of them, they were one. The Mufassirin wrote, فَقَامَ مَقَامَ الْأَنْبِيَا. That Abu Bakr Siddiq Lano, he stood up at the status of the prophets, and he changed the people, and he forced the people to come at one place. Steadfastness. And then number one, he was Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. How much steadfastness he had. Allahu Akbar. We cannot even imagine. Abu Talib called Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam before migration and told him that, oh my son, I am here to protect you. But these people of Quraysh, they are giving me a tough time. Don't put any load on me which I cannot bear. And they say, if you want wealth, they can offer any amount of wealth to you. If you need some beautiful woman, then in Makkah, you pinpoint any woman and we can make your nikah with her. And if you want to become a leader, then we are going to accept you as a leader, but please don't confront with us and say bad something about our idols. Don't say anything. Make some agreement. Make some compromise. And they are putting pressure tactics on me. And now it's difficult for me to resist. So my son, listen to my suggestion. Think about the situation. Then what reply was given by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? My uncle, if they put the moon on my one hand and the sun on the other hand, I am not going to accept their conditions. I will do what I am supposed to do by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is steadfastness. That is willpower. Climax of willpower in the history of mankind. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Steadfastness. Once it was a very bad weather. It was raining cats and dogs. And there was thunderstorm. And everyone in Makkah was sitting in the home. And it was cloudy and dark and windy and rainy condition. And whenever there was thunderstorm, every person in Makkah, he was afraid. Fearful condition. In that condition, someone knocked the door of Abu Jahl. Abu Jahl was surprised. In this bad weather, who can come to my door? His wife told him, I feel he is a real needy person who is knocking the door. Abu Jahl said, yes, I also feel that. And if the person is needy, whatever he will say, I will fulfill his need. So he gave the commitment to his wife. And he came to the door. When he opened the door, he looked that in that bad weather, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was at his door. He looked at him. Oh, you are here at my door. Why you have come here? Uncle, I have come here that it is bad weather. Yes, we are afraid from the thunderstorm. We are fearful. Yes, I thought the same, that this is a condition. Everyone is fearful. I thought in my mind, maybe if I present the name of Allah at this time, you will be able to accept my message. Steadfast. So a mu'min should have steadfastness, willpower. Whatever strong his iman will be, the same strength will be in his willpower. The more strong the iman, the more strong the willpower. That's why the awliya, they fight with the nafs. They don't take care of their haram. They are always ready to work for the deen. They sacrifice. Who is the person who does not love to stay with the family, with the wife, with the children at home? But still, they make sacrifice for the sake of deen. They know that someone has to bear the load. Someone has to take the load. That we cannot do without steadfastness. So that's why every one of us should realize that we should have a lot of willpower. Then we can be steadfastness on the deen and we can act upon the sunnah in each and every condition. Now how we can increase our determination power is to sit down in the company of those who have high determination power, see their life, talk to them, and then your determination power will be increased. And the second is that you have to do remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala excessively. The zikr, what we do every day, if you do it more, it is going to increase your determination power. So since last 2 days, I was telling you the virtues of zikr. So one of the biggest virtue of zikr is that the person who makes more and more zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his determination power is increased. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase our determination power and give us steadfastness on the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. I think this is going to be the last sitting of this retreat. What do you mean by treat? So after the retreat, there should be treat?
Treat should be given again.
As you wait such a long time, and it feels like forever before you actually came. And then now today's the last talk, which is if it just came by in 1 second.
May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to be at one place again. Inshallah. So make muraqabah for a few minutes and we can make our final dua. Close your eyes, be attentive to your hearts and feel as if the nur is coming in our hearts and our heart is saying Allah, Allah, Allah.
مغموم کو مسرور کر دے دل دے نور کو پر نور کر دے دل مغموم کو مسرور کر دے دل دے نور کو پر نور کر دے فروزہ دل میں شمع دور کر دے فروزہ دل میں شمع دور کر دے یہ گوشہ نور سے معمور کر دے میرا ظاہر سنور جائے الہی میرا ظاہر سنور جائے الہی میرے باطن کی ظلمت دور کر دے میرا ظاہر سنور جائے الہی میرے باطن کی ظلمت دور کر دے میں وحدت پلا مخمور کر دے میں وحدت پلا مخمور کر دے محبت کے نشہ میں شوش کر دے میں وحدت پلا مخمور کر دے محبت کے نشے میں چور کر دے دل مغموم کو مسرور کر دے دل بے نور کو پر نور کر دے میرا ظاہر سنور جائے الہی میرا ظاہر سنور جائے الہی میرے باطن کی ظلمت دور کر دے نہ دل مائل ہو میرا ان کی جانب نہ دل مائل ہو میرا ان کی جانب جنہیں تیری عطا مغرور کر دے ہے میری گھات میں خود نفس میرا ہے میری گھات میں خود نفس میرا خدایا اس کو بھی مقدور کر دے, دل مغموم کو مسرور کر دے, دل بے نور کو پر نور کر دے, فروزاں دل میں شمعِ طور کر دے, یہ گوشہ نور سے معمور کر دے, میرا ظاہر سورگاہِ الٰہی, میرا ظاہر سورگاہِ الٰہی, میرے باطن کی ظلمت دور کر دے, میں وحدت پلا مخمور کر دے, میں وحدت پلا مخمور کر دے, محبت کے نشے میں چور کر دے, میرا ظاہر سنور جائے الٰہی, میرے باطن کی ظلمت دور کر دے, میری خاص ہے خود نفس میرا, میری خاص میں خود نفس میرا, خدایا عشق کو بے مقدور کر دے, دل مغموم کو مسرور کر دے, دل بے نور کو پر نور کر دے.
دعا فرمانی. الحمدللہ رب العالمین والعاقبۃ للمتقین والصلاۃ والسلام علی اشرف الانبیاء والمرسلین. ربنا ظلمنا انفسنا وان لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. ربنا ظلمنا انفسنا وان لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد اذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمه انك انت الوهاب. ربنا اغفر لنا ولاخواننا الذين سبقونا بالايمان ولا تجعل في قلوبنا غلا للذين امنوا ربنا انك رؤوف رحيم. اللهم إنا نسألك رضاك والجنة ونعوذ بك من سخطك والنار ونعوذ بك من سخطك والنار. اللهم إنا نسألك رضاك والجنة ونعوذ بك من سخطك والنار. اللهم إنا نسألك الرضا بالقضاء وبرد العيش بعد الموت ولذة النظر إلى وجهك ولذة النظر إلى وجهك والشوق إلى لقائك وإذا الراء بضرة ولا فتنة مضلة. اللهم احسن عاقبتنا في الامور كلها واجرنا من خزي الدنيا وعذاب الاخره واجرنا من خزي الدنيا وعذاب الاخره. اللهم انا نسالك حبك وحب حبيبك وحب من يحبك والعمل الذي يبلغنا الى حبك. اللهم حبب الينا الايمان وتزينه في قلوبنا وكره الينا الكفر والفسوق والعصيان. اللهم اجعلنا من الراشدين. اللهم اجعلنا من المتقين. اللهم اجعلنا من الذين يستمعون القول فيتبعون احسنه. اے مالک ہم ظاہر میں بندے ہیں حقیقت میں ظاہر ہیں. اے اللہ ہمارے اندر کی گندگیوں کو دور فرما. اے اللہ ہمارے دنوں کی سختی کو دور فرما. اے میرے مالک ہمارے دنوں کی ذلت کو دور فرما. اے اللہ ہمارے دنوں کی دنیا کو آباد فرما. میرے مالک ہماری گناہوں کو پاک فرما, ہمارے دلوں کو صاف فرما. اے میرے مالک ہمارے دست و شکان کے بکر و فریش سے محفوظ فرما. ہمارے روح کو جاری فرما. اے اللہ ہماری ہڈی ہڈی بوٹی بوٹی اپنی محبت
اللہ آپ نے اپنے کلام پاک میں فرما دیا کمزوروں کو یہ حکم دیا جا رہا ہے کہ ہم سوال ہی کو انکار نہ کریں. اے آقا ہم بھی تو آپ کے گھر میرے والی سواری ان دعاؤں کو قبول فرما دیجیے. میری ماتا ہماری دعاؤں کو قبول فرما دیجیے. میرے مالک دنیا تو فقط نفرت کرنا جانتی.